Today is Cinco de Mayo, 2004. And I wanted to give a special treat to all the listeners. So I racked my brain and thought, what would they want to hear the most? And then I came up with a great idea. Listening to Bart drink tequila. Oh, what fun we're going to have today. Holy cow. So what we've got, looks like, 7, maybe 8 different kinds of tequila. Expensive tequilas. Now, I didn't go out and spend $400 to buy 8 bottles of expensive tequila. These tequilas have been here over the years. I see one I bought a year before I left the car lot. 2 or 3 I bought when Tommy was here a year ago, March. So again, don't think that we just buy $400 worth of tequila at a time because we're living high at Bart Cop Manor. Well, parts of that last sentence were true. Anyway, we're going to run through a couple. If the Pokerfest Florida trip bored you, you're going to hate this. You're going to hate this to death. All right, so what we're going to start off with, one of the most famous of the fine tequilas. Oh, and these are all Añejos. Don't think for a second we're going to be trying anything but the best. So, number one, straight out of the box, the Herradura Añejo. It's in a fine-looking square bottle with rounded edges, but you don't get a lot of square bottles with rounded edges. And Herradura Añejo Tequila Natural, made in Mexico, 100% de agave. Let's give it a shot. Oh, very nice. Very light, with a little fruit punch at the end. That's kind of nice. I haven't tried Herradura in a while, but I give that passing grade. Oh, I don't know if we can grade these, but they at least get an A. Okay, that's one down. See how fast this is going? Number two. Don Julio Añejo, 100% de agave, 100% blue agave. I guess de is blue in Spanish. This is from batch number 1449, bottle 163, for those of you keeping score. Don Julio Tequila Reserve de Don Julio. Now, this is an odd-looking bottle. It's mostly round, but it's got like a port in the beginning and in the back. So it looks a little like a barrel on its side. So here we go, some Don Julio Tequila Añejo. Wow. Hardly any bite at all. It didn't hardly even taste like tequila. It was very, very smooth. But along with the very, very smooth, there wasn't a whole lot of, well, there was zero punch, but that can be good. And didn't notice a lot of flavor. Possibly this would be, we might need to be getting into this in some greater detail. Because it's subtle. And the more subtle it is, the more you need to take your time. Maybe get like 2 tequilas. That's what I like to do. Get the Chinaco and Tequila B, and then, you know, you get a shot of each, and then a couple drops out of this one, a couple drops out of that one, go back and forth. That really fine-tunes the hone, if that's a phrase. So that was Don Julio Reserva de Añejo. Oh, you talk about a special treat. Listen to Bart Cop drink tequila. Does it get any better? Is there any other site on the whole internet that allows you this kind of thrill? Next up, and this is kind of a joke, this is Mrs. Bart's. She likes the Sousa. She drinks the Sousa in her margaritas, which is good. You can get a big chunk of Sousa for like $25, $26 here. This way she gets the good stuff for $10 cheaper, and she likes it better, so what the hell, I'm not going to insist she drink the more expensive stuff. Aha! Surprise, though. This is the Sousa Reposado Hornitos. I think the Sousa Commemorativo is the Añejo. The Hornitos is the Reposado, so it's been rested in barrels, but not for very long. So we'll give it a cursory shot, I think they call this. Oh, yes. Oh, it has to be better than Cuervo, but it reminds me of Cuervo. You know, Cuervo's got that, just that ugly kind of, well, it's kind of a chocolatey, molasses, nagging, you know, it tastes like a bruise. That's with a U-I-S-E, not a E-W-S. So, yeah, Sousa Hornitos is only when you're making margaritas. You don't want to be sipping that stuff. All right, next. Okay, next we have a very fine bottle that I bought when Tommy was here. Before I realized I had to stop wasting money. Pardon the interruption. That was recorded on the 5th. Today is the 7th. And I have an update for you. I went to see my cancer doctor today. You know, I got a tiff with him. About a month ago on the page, there was a headline. Mayo Clinic says green tea kills the kind of bad stuff I have, and 8 out of 10 people. I called and asked about that, and he says, I haven't heard of that. And I'm thinking, well, okay, Sure would be nice if you heard about the cure. God damn. Yeah, don't leave it up to me to find the cure. I sent him the URL. He said he'd dig into it. A couple days later, he sent an email back saying, oh, he doubts it's anything. He said if the Mayo Clinic takes white blood cells out of 8 people and then puts them on the green tea and some of them die, that's hardly conclusive. I'm thinking, well, geez, Doc, the Mayo Clinic? You call it, you know, this isn't what the psychic told me at the county fair. This is the G.D. Mayo Clinic. And when they make an announcement, I assume there's some science behind it. Anyway, he was very dismissive. So when I got down there today, I asked him about that again. He said, well, I didn't mean to sound dismissive. I guess I may have, but the idea that, you know, they get 8 people and, you know, I'm thinking, well, what kind of attitude is that? Do you think the Mayo Clinic's going to pull 8 hobos out from under a bridge and run a test and then stand up and announce it to the world? They said 8 out of 10 people. It's my opinion that meant 400 out of 500 people. When the Mayo Clinic announces 8 out of 10 and he thinks, oh, that's 8 people. Well, geez, Doc, what a bad attitude you have. Don't make me have to mess you up. Then he starts asking me, you have any of this, you have any of that? I said, no. Then he had to put his hands on me. Oh, God, I hate that. So then he opens up his little book, Why I'd Just Given Blood, and they played with it for 10, 15 minutes, and he says, your white cell count's gone down. That's good news. And the way he said it made me think he doesn't often say that to his patients. So my white cell blood count is down 12%, and apparently that's unusual. So I'm thinking, maybe it's the green tea, asshole. But no, he didn't want to talk about the green tea. Green tea cannot work. Got a feeling if word gets out green tea kills cancer, he's out of a job. He needs to go back to school and learn to study another subject. Anyway, it's closed because I could go forever. Been to the doctor. I'm healthier now than I went to see him on Friday the 13th. I asked him if this gives me any longevity, if he wanted to stretch those numbers out any. He said, the disease you have is the disease you have. And I swear, I thought about backhanding him, but, that's a lot of things pop into a fellow's mind that you don't do. I said, well, doesn't it make sense, though, that if my count's going down? And we, of course, he had to rule in the possibility, had my count gone up a bunch, then he would have had to shorten the time. Because when he told me in our first meeting that he would know a lot more in the second meeting. I'm trying to get him to add some years, and he wouldn't do it, the prick. If the count had gone up, he would have not been happy. But he would not have hesitated to shorten my time if they went up. But he refused to lengthen it since it went down. So I think I'm going to make him the Riddler. The disease you have is the disease you have. Hey, Riddler, why don't you talk to me instead of singing me a nursery rhyme? What the hell's wrong with you? So anyway, that is the good news. We are healthier than we were. And I'm a green tree drinking mother effer, so might end up beating this. Back to the extra exciting tequila report. This is a bottle of El Tesoro de Don Felipe Paradiso. This was about $80. We bought this last year when Tommy came to town. I flew him into town so he could work on my board, and we were going to drink some tequila, and I'd never tried this, so it seemed like a way to kill 3 birds with a single stone. And as I remember, it wasn't worth the price. If Chinaco's worth $35 in Oklahoma, I take that back, it's worth $100. But they only charge $35 for it, so it's ridiculous to pay $80 for something, but it's kind of one of those things you have to try it. If we had been at the Hard Rock, we could have paid for a shot, but we weren't, so we didn't. So here we go, El Tesoro Don Felipe Paradiso. Wow, again, very, very smooth. Like the Don Julio, there was kind of nothing there, and that's interesting on a tequila. Smooth tequila, I'll tell you, there's good and bad things about it. You want your alcohol to bite a little bit. Otherwise, sometimes I find myself drinking a Black Russian, and it tastes like a chocolate drink. It tastes like chocolate milk. And it's pretty easy to turn a glass of chocolate milk upside down. And you don't want to do that, especially after a while. So the Paradiso goes next to the Don Julio as needing further inspection. Next up, this is one I bought when I was back at the car lot. I think I got this Christmas of O2. Yeah, because it was a Christmas, and it wasn't right as I left, but I paid $110 over the internet for Casa Noble Extra Aged. Said it like smirk. Casa Noble Extra Aged. 100% de agave, tequila, añejo. This is from batch 1137. I don't see a bottle number. It's in a ceramic bottle with a gold stopper, and it looks like it's hand-painted. It could easily be. Oh, here it is, bottle number 5548 for those keeping score. What's the price say on there? $102 plus shipping. So, yeah, this was like a $1.12 I paid for this back in 02. Oh, let's see if it's still any good. Casa Noble. Butter. Smooth and creamy. Oh. But for $100, you ought to get that and oral sex. So, yes, we like the Casa Noble extra age, but it's extra expensive. You always have to go back to the original default. If you can get the Chinako for $35, when we were in Vegas, I tried some of those. Oh, I forget now. It's in the report. I think it was $75 a shot. She gave us a quarter shot for $17. And it was fine, but, you know, for a shot of Chinako was $6. So a quarter, yeah, $6 versus $75. No, it was not 12 times better than the Chinako. I don't think anything on the planet is 12 times better than the Chinako. So Casa Noble, smooth, buttery, but at $100, no oral sex. I'm disappointed. Boy, the time is just zipping by. Now we've got a brand new one up, a fan, not a fan, who am I? A reader sent me this, El Tesoro de Don Felipe. But that Don Felipe, he's a busy guy. He must be the agave wholesaler down there. Let's see, this is from batch 1139. This is in a tall square bottle. Got your wooden stopper on the top. Oh, did you hear that? Oh, check this out. Oh, it worked better first time. Hey, got to pop a little like the Chinago. So we're trying for the first time El Tesoro de Don Felipe. Ain't a thing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. So we've tried, this is number 6, and every one of them has been very, very good. I have to give them all an A, except for the Sousa. Have to give them maybe a B. That's like 3 grades down from an A. Yes, El Tesoro de Don Felipe. You're okay, buddy. I'm going to have to get into you a little deeper later tonight. Rapidly zooming towards a close. Crowd does the wave. Our second last, Don Eduardo. 100% agave, añejo. Hecho en Mexico. Batch number 1110. Don Eduardo. Last time I had some of this. Oh, and this is quite old. This is maybe 2001. Don Eduardo tequila. Here we go. Oh, it's in a oddly shaped, what's it shaped like? A little like a tombstone. Kind of tall and skinny and flat, like a tombstone. And it's got a green glass top with a ring of plastic and a cork stopper. Okay, here we go. Don Eduardo. Oh, it's very clean. Very clean. Boy, I wish I had more of an education because, see, this is very clean. You can taste it. Two of these, when it hits your mouth, it's like, there is something there, right? And this you can taste, but it just tastes clean. It just, that's a good thing for tequila to taste. Of course, it's not the champ, but Don Eduardo, very, very nice. Have to give that also an A, possibly an A half plus. That's really nice. I like that. And to finish off, we get the old granddad of them all, the king of beers, the Chinako Añejo, with his telltale little pop. Ooh, you can tell I'm getting low. Oh, the fruity flavors. Oh, boy. Like Jesus said, you saved the best wine for... No, he said, why didn't you get the good stuff out first? That is really nice. After trying the other 7, getting that shot of Chinako, oh, boy, it's just... Oh, I forgot to give the documentation. Wow, this is number C69708981-4616. So if you see that one or a near relative in a liquor store, buy it because it's fine. Chinako Añejo, the king of beers. I did too, because we're rapidly coming to the conclusion here. We're about to get off work. Rarely do I drink or smoke on the job. Sometimes I write on the job that way, but I don't perform under the influence. Well, hey, I promise you a rip-roaring, mind-tingling romp through tequila land, and that's where we've just been. Seriously, have you ever had a more fun 14 minutes in your entire life? I don't care how old you are. This last 14 minutes, this is where it's at. And it'll be a year before we do another one of these, so calm down. Don't write and say, Bart, you're not going to do that every week, are you? No. like my 7-hour romp through the TV guide. No, we're just going to do that on the very least of occasions. Anyway, this is the Tequila Report checking out. Once again, Chinaco Añejo has come out on top, but that Don Eduardo got within a letter grade of the good stuff. So thanks for listening. Back to you, Tom.
I feel a hot wind on my shoulder. I dial it in from south of the border. I hear the talking of the DJ. Can't understand just what does he say. I'm on a Mexican radio. I'm on a Mexican radio. I'm on a Mexican
radio. Love rap music. Tired of defending it, man. And it's well with rap music, man, because people either love it or hate it. Even the United States government hates rap. The government hates rap. You know why I say that? Because they don't arrest anybody that kills rappers. They don't got no clues, no suspects. They don't have shit when it's a dead rapper. They don't fill out a police report. They don't even have a chalk line when it's a dead rapper. Shit, if you want to get away with murder, all you got to do is shoot somebody in the head and put a demo tape in their pocket. This is a rap killing. Let's go home. The government hates rap, man. Look at all these dead rappers, man. Biggie Smalls, Jam Master Jay, Tupac Shakur. No, Tupac was gunned down on the Las Vegas Strip after a Mike Tyson fight. Now, how many witnesses do you need to see some shit before you arrest somebody? Shit. More people saw Tupac get shot than the last episode of Seinfeld. Every year, Tupac comes back from the dead, records a new album with clues in it. Every record got a clue if you listen real hard. The brother in the red shot the dead right there. Track four. Buck is trying to tell us something. Listen again. It was a nigga named Kevin with a Mac-11 right there. Buck is reaching out to us. Listen. The government hates rap, man. And only rappers get gunned down like this. I'll tell you right now, if Billy Joel, Elton John, and David Bowie got shot, they'd have Bruce Springsteen's house surrounded. The government hates rap. And only the good rappers are dead. Only the good ones. Biggie dead. Tupac dead. Vanilla Ice still alive. The government hates rap. You mean to tell me they can find Saddam Hussein in a fucking hole, but you can't tell me who shot Tupac? Shit. They found Saddam Hussein in fucking Iraq. Tupac got shot in Vegas. Tupac in Vegas. Not on no side street. The motherfucker got shot on the strip. In front of Circus! Damn!
The tax relief that we passed about, talked about, is scheduled to go away. I can't explain it very well.
This is Granny B, and I was just thinking, there's more buzzing going on over here at Bonnie's Big Hair Boutique than there would be if you poked a stick in a beehive. Why? Because it's all over the news that George Bush was warned more than a month before 9/11 that Osama bin Laden was planning an attack on us right here in the good old USA. But instead of putting the military, the police, the immigration service, the airlines, the FBI, the CIA, second grade teachers, and anyone else he could think of on alert to guard against an attack, he went fishing that day. I remember reading after 9/11 that in the weeks after that warning, Bush's people got more warnings from the French, the Germans, the Israelis, the Russians, the British, and even the Egyptians that terrorists were about to attack us. And still they didn't put anybody on alert. And I also remember reading that Attorney General John Ashcroft quit flying commercial airlines in July of 2001. Did he know something that he didn't see fit to tell the rest of us about? This is Granny B, and I was just wondering.
So basically, after going to war against the UN's express wishes, the U.S. is now admitting it needs the UN's help. It's the geopolitical equivalent of the 2 a.m. phone call every parent dreads. Mom, I'm not saying I wrecked the car, but I need a ride home. Meanwhile, Spain's new prime minister, José Luis Rodríguez Zapatero, has announced he will soon call back Spain's 1,300 troops from Iraq, meaning the coalition of the willing is fast turning into a duet of the stubborn. But just how important are these coalition partners anyway?
But if you look at the numbers, 135,000 U.S. troops, 10 or 12,000 British troops, then the next largest, perhaps even the second largest contingent of guns on the ground are private contractors. Can you assure the American people that post-sovereignty, when the handover takes place, that there will be more burden sharing by allies in terms of security forces?
Wow. A tough question. But fair, what are the other members of the coalition providing?
John, my response is... I don't think people ought to demean the contributions of our friends into Iraq. People are sacrificing their lives in Iraq from different countries. We ought to honor that.
See what he did right there? He took a legitimate question and responded to it as though it were an insult, thereby avoiding the need to actually answer it. It's a sophisticated technique Beltway insiders refer to as, no, you're the ass.
You are listening to Bart Cop Radio at bartcop.com. Keeper of the Democratic Jewels.
Well, friends, that was show 37. In the business, this is what's called the closer, and I had the forethought to record the closer before we got into the tequila, just in case things get out of hand. Tommy always has his terrible swift sword. He can edit out what he can edit out, but he can't create a closer. He's not that good. He can't take a bunch of my words and hack them together and make it a closer. So we're doing the closer up front to be sure if things get out of hand, we have a closer. Because without a closer, you have an ongoing show, I suppose. So that was show 37. Parts of it were silly. Parts of it were boring. Parts of it were exciting. Parts of it were deadly serious. As always, we'd like to thank the subscribers and those who have donated, because without you, I'm at the car lot and there ain't no radio. Thank you. We'll see you again with show number 38. I'll get started on it right now.